Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Hi there. Do you happen to have a giant in your life, maybe a circumstance or a spiritual warfare or something that you're looking at and think, whoa, this thing is bigger than I am. It's bigger than my ability to change it. And I feel stuck and I feel frightened by it. You know, sometimes we do have situations like that in our life. On today's program, I'm going to teach you how to slay that giant. And I'm really happy to bring to you at the very beginning of this program, a little clip that I did live from Israel. I had the privilege of actually going into Israel to the very place on the plain where David and Goliath fought. And it was really fun being there. So let's watch this and I'll be right back. Well, here we are at the very battleground where David fought Goliath. That's right. In fact, just over this ridge there was where David and Saul and the armies of Israel had their camp. And then over on the other side is where the Philistines came from and where Goliath came out and taunted the armies of the living God, who is saying, we're going to take you, you're finished. And it put the people in fear. But there was a young shepherd boy who wasn't in fear. He knew a key to victory. He went to the brook, and this is it. It's dry right now because there's not rain at this point. But this is the brook where David picked up the 5 stones. And it was with only one that he actually slew Goliath because the Lord was in him. The key that David knew was that he was a covenant man, that he had a covenant with God. When he looked at the Philistines and he looked at Goliath, he saw that they were uncircumcised. They had no covenant with God. And so his faith was not in his military ability. His faith wasn't in his size. His faith wasn't even in the weapon, because he just used one stone in his slingshot. A stone that he had probably been used to killing lions and bears with. He had absolute confidence because of his relationship with a covenant-keeping God when he was out on the field tending the sheep, that he could take that giant out. And so when he flung that stone into the giant's head, he did so with absolute confidence. Now 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that God always gives us his victory. Always. In Christ Jesus, we always have that victory. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality, power, above every name that is named. When David slew the giant, he did so in the name of a covenant-keeping God. And that is the same strategy that you can use today. No matter what your battles are, no matter how great they are, how ferocious they are, they might be in health issues, financial issues, relational issues, legal issues, whatever they are, there is power in Jesus Christ, in the name of your covenant-keeping God, to settle those issues and to move your giants out of your way. After David won the battle on the field right here, when he took Goliath down, he was promoted. He had already been anointed as king, but he wasn't appointed as a king yet. It wasn't his time yet. And although he was acting like one, he executed the authority that was given to him by God in the killing of that giant with full confidence. The Bible says that you are a king and a priest before him. You have power to use the same name that David did, the name of your God, the name of your Savior, the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, to slay your giants. I so enjoyed being there in Israel. It's so surreal when you're actually right on the land where it's happening, and you can actually imagine the battle taking place. In fact, why don't you pray about the next time we go to Israel to join us on a tour? We had so much fun at that time. But I even got some rocks out of that creek, and that creek bed was the actual place, they believe, where David picked up the stone that slew Goliath. So I got this one. It was, you know, fairly smooth, and I got four others. That's for the other giants, I think. But this one, I was told that when David slew the giant, it wasn't so much the size of the stone that he picked up, it was the force through what he, how he threw it through his slingshot, that it was just like targeted him right in the forehead with so much force that the force killed him. But we know that he killed Goliath in the name of the Lord. So right now I want to give you some just some points on how you can slay your giant, whatever your giant is. And the first thing is, name your giant. What is your giant? Because sometimes we just say, well, I'm just in a warfare, or life is hard, or I'm really struggling, but we don't identify with really what it is. It's really important to define what your battle is. Define your giant. David knew who he was going out to slay. Remember, he went to bring his brother some lunch, and he gets out to the battle, and he sees this big Philistine giant taunting the armies of the living God. And he just didn't get it. He thought, how are you allowing this giant to do this to us? He knew who his enemy was. And he went to the king. He said, I want to take this giant out. And, you know, so he was given permission to go out and do it. And he did it with his slingshot and his rock. But he knew exactly who he was targeting. It wasn't anyone else on the Philistine team. It wasn't anyone else or anything else out there. He knew exactly what he was targeting. And it will really help you if you know what you are targeting as far as your battle, because then you can wage war against it. So don't let your battle be nebulous. Don't just say, well, you know, I'm having a hard life, or life is tough, or having a hard time lately. Exactly what is it? Because if you target your enemy, if you know who your giant is, then you'll be able to slay it. And nothing is too big for the Lord. Remember that. Okay, now the second point is, look at your giant in the light of the greatness of the Lord. Do you still see your giant? You see, when we look at the greatness of God and meditate on him, everything else pales. Even the devil himself, you know, the scripture says that in the final day, that we are going to look at him narrowly. It says squint at him and say, what is this, the one who deceived the nations? Because in the light of who God is, everything else is so small. So start to meditate on the power of God, his greatness, his enormous wisdom, his might, his love for you. Imagine how big he is to fill the whole universe, you know? Because if you spend time meditating on how big he is, then your giant will look pretty small in light. No matter what that circumstance is, you have to look at it in the light of who God is. And that was David's secret. David was out there with the sheep, caring for the sheep at his father's house, and he was there by himself, or was he? He was there with the Lord, and he drew close to the Lord and worshiped the Lord and got to know God in that place, got to know the bigness of God, so that when the lions and the bears came, the Lord was bigger than the lions and the bears, and that's how he could handle him. So when he went out then into the battlefield to seek Goliath, it was no different. He knew the greatness of God. He wasn't afraid of the giant. The giant, even though in stature was much bigger than David, he wasn't looking at the giant in the light of how big he was. He was looking at the giant in how big God was. And that's how you have to discern your battle. That's how you have to see your giant in life, is how big is that giant next to the bigness of God? Because when you see the bigness of God next to your circumstance, it'll change your perspective. And when your perspective changes, the whole battle will look different to you. So the third one is that you would know your covenant. David knew his covenant with God. He knew that he had promises that were given to him in the Lord for a victory. And you need to know that too. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for your victory. He died so that you would know the goodness of God and that all the promises of God are yes and amen inside of that covenant. And so when you understand that, you know that you can't lose a battle. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Therefore, you know, you can be assured no matter what your giant is, that you can overcome. Why? Because the promise says so. Now, with David, he went out against that giant in what? In the name of the Lord. He saw that that giant was not circumcised, which meant he didn't have a covenant with God. All of God's people were circumcised. Today, our hearts are circumcised. In those days, the covenant people of God were circumcised. The men were circumcised. The Philistines were not. It meant they did not have covenant. So David didn't care how big the giant was. He could have been even double that size. He didn't care. He didn't care what kind of weapons the giant had. He had so much confidence that if he went out against that giant that was coming against the armies of the living God, coming against the purposes of God, that if he hurled the name of the Lord at him, that he would win. He had that much confidence in the Lord, in the promise, and in the covenant. Do you? Do you have absolute just assurance in your heart that what God says he will do for you, the victory that he will give to you, do you really believe that? Because if you believe that you're a covenant child, you go out in the name of the Lord, the same name of the Lord that David went out in, and you will be a victor. And David cultivated that. He exercised that authority. He exercised his covenant blessings on a daily basis. Do you exercise your covenant promises on a daily basis? You are destined for blessing. You are destined to live in the goodness of God. The covenant that Jesus cut with you, for you, as you, is so that you could live in all the goodness of God all the days of your life. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you would have life and have it in its abundance. Exercise your covenant blessing. Exercise your covenant right, just like David did. Now, the fourth one is to receive your battle strategy in God's presence. That's right. You see, David, he was in the presence of God. We see that all throughout the scripture. We know that when he was out with the sheep and caring for them, that he would spend time with God and that he knew the power of God as he slew the bears and the lions and everything that would attack the sheep. He was in fellowship with God. He lived in the presence of God. And that's why when he went out to fight Goliath, he wasn't fighting that giant on his own. He knew God was with him. He lived in the presence. All throughout the Psalms, you see that David was a man of the presence. I think a lot of times that we will fight a life circumstance, and maybe you're in one right now, where you're looking at the circumstance and you go into your own head thinking, oh my goodness, this has happened, that's happened, what am I going to do? And you try to figure out in your own mind what you are to do. Maybe you've got some skills in life or you've had some experience of things like that in the past. So you go in and you try to figure it out. But if we could just lay all that down and go into the presence of the Lord and worship him and adore him and understand his heart and receive in that place the battle strategy, God will give you the battle strategy that you need to overcome whatever you are facing. David, oftentimes, as you read in the scripture, you'll see that he would go and inquire of the Lord. He'd come against an obstacle. He'd come against a challenge, and it would look enormous. And it would say he would go and inquire of the Lord. Even when he ended up in Ziklag with everything falling apart around him, it said that he went and strengthened himself in the Lord, and he inquired of the Lord. He needed the battle strategy. As Ziklag, the Lord gave him that strategy and said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. And so he had something to move forward on. It's really important that you get your battle strategy, and it'll be different for every battle, and it'll probably be different for every giant in your life. God will give you the word. He will give you the strategy, and he will give you his name to fight with. When you get that right from the presence of the Lord, it produces faith in your heart. And as you go forth, you can execute that plan and see the victory of the Lord. Also, number five, we see that once we get the battle strategy, that we pursue in faith and in confidence. You see, your faith comes by that word of God that comes to you. So when you receive directly from the Holy Spirit, the word of promise, all your scripture promises that he gives you, and, you know, the strategy, maybe it's a strategy of praise and worship, or maybe it's something practical that he wants you to do, or maybe he wants you to decree the word of God. But whatever you receive from the Lord, you take that and you work with that in purity of faith. Because from his presence and from that direct word will come faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that rhema word of God. And so then you can execute the plan. Now, the scripture says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it is your faith that is going to overcome any obstacle in life. You're going to be people of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible, only believe. Oftentimes he would say to his disciples, where is your faith? Do not be afraid, believe. And so when we face situations that seem or appear to be bigger than ourselves, oftentimes we'll go into fear rather than faith. God says, believe my word. Believe what I have shown you to do. Now, I remember a time years ago, I was facing something. We had just started getting involved in media. And, you know, television was a challenge for us. It was very expensive. And financially, we needed to go to a new level, and we weren't there yet. And we had said yes to God because he had given us a sure word that we were to go into media. But my faith wasn't totally built up yet regarding the finances. So I faced this giant. I remember that we were down to nothing. There was nothing left in our bank account. And yet we had bills to pay that were coming up and payroll to pay. And it was just like a matter of a couple of days when we were going to have to, you know, cut checks and have everything paid for. And I was worried because there was nothing in the account. And, you know, I was worried in the night. I couldn't sleep. And my husband was sleeping like sawing logs beside me. And I was thinking, why should he be so peaceful when I am so afraid and so upset about this dilemma that we're in? It was like a big giant, an enormous problem. And back then, in those days, I had to believe for $40,000 every single month to come in. But when we went into media, it more than doubled. It was $80,000 to $100,000 every month that we had to believe God for. And it was a huge jump. I mean, these days it even seems very small compared to what we have to believe for these days. But back then, it was a huge jump for me. And so every single month I would believe God and it would come through, but I was stressed over it. So I remember this one night, I was so stressed. We only had a couple of days left before the bills had to be paid. And I tried to wake up my husband. I said, wake up, wake up. I'm so worried. You know, we've got to pay the bills. Don't you know we've got no money to pay them with? What are we going to do? And we had already agreed to put our house up and, you know, we would give the house to the Lord to pay the bills. But then I thought, if we pay this month, then there's more the next month. And what are we going to do? And this television is taking so much. And what are we going to do? And I was just babbling off like an idiot, you know. My husband, and he's sleeping, but I'm waking him up saying, you should worry with me. And he said, everything's going to be okay. Just go to sleep. You can't solve it by worrying. Just go to sleep. And I thought, that's fine for you to say, you know, but I'm trying to believe God and you should be praying with me. He said, just go to sleep. So he would go back to sleep and I would worry. Finally got up. It was like about 5 in the morning, turned the hot tub on outside and went and sat out there in the dark saying, oh God, what am I going to do? Do you understand? I have to believe for 80,000, sometimes up to 100,000 every single month. And it's not here. And what am I going to do? And it's so much money. Even if it comes in this month and we put our house up for sale, give it to you, then there's still another month. I was going on like an idiot like that. Okay. finally, after bawling and squalling, looking at what looked like this enormous problem, it looked so big, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, yeah. He says, you know, every single month, my servant, Kenneth Copeland, he asked me for millions every single month. And my servant, Joyce Meyer, she asked me for millions every single month. My son, Benny Hinn, millions every month. He said, And now you're asking me for up to $100,000 a month. Wow. Was I really expecting that? And all of a sudden, I realized how silly I was. That even millions of dollars next to God is nothing. It's not a problem for him. Even if it was a billion, it wouldn't be a problem for him. If it was a trillion, it wouldn't be a problem for him. Not at all. And I was so worried. He says, do you not understand that even the birds of the air, do you understand what they need every single day? Every single day, they need their birdseed. They need their food. And I'm not pacing up and down in heaven saying, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? The birds need more seed. He said, do you understand how much money it would cost if you were to tally up how much money it costs to furnish all the birds their seed at the prices that are in the store right now? It would be so much money. And I have to come up with that every single day. He says, am I worried? He says, I can provide anything and everything that you need. I am God, and I am bigger than anything that you are facing right now. And all of a sudden, I just started laughing. I thought, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. I have minimized you to being a God who is small like this and my problem big like this. And he gave me that word in the hot tub. And I just absorbed it, and I started to worship him right then and there. I said, oh, God, you are so big, and you are so great, and this is not a problem for you. You said that you would meet all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I accept that. I accept that. And I let faith enter my heart, and I began to move forward in confidence. I went back into the house. I woke my husband up again, but this time, at least it was a good report. I said, God told me that it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. And it was so amazing because the money came in within the next couple of days. We were to pay all of our bills, and the next month, and the next month, and the next month, and it continued to come in every single month till now. And you know, it always will, because God is that good. He is that great. Now, I just want to encourage you that God, when he gives you that word, you can live in confidence in that word. I have some tools that you can get online. We have the book In the Zone, which teaches you how to live in the blessings of God and also create your world and God's law of attraction. You can get all those books, will help you. But another thing that will help you tremendously is to be in a company of believers who are full of faith. If you're around negative people and fearful people and doubters, then that can get on you. But if you're around optimistic people, people of faith, it'll build you. When I saw that victory that day, I thought, oh, Lord, I want to be a woman of faith. I'm so sorry for doubting you. I want to be a woman who believes you, who takes hold of your promises and lays hold of them. And so I want to invite you to pray about joining us in partnership with XP Ministries, because you would belong to a company of people who believe in the goodness and the greatness and the bigness of God. And also, we have a church fellowship called Shiloh Fellowship. We meet locally. It's just a small fellowship locally in our studio. But we reach hundreds of thousands of people all around the world. And we would love for you to be part of our online congregation. If you live in our area, you could be part of our on-site congregation. But we're reaching the whole world. We're a media church. And we would love to have you part of it. So you can reach us on xpshiloh.com. And every single Sunday morning, we broadcast our service. and you can be part of that family. We even have a web church that if you join the Shiloh Web Church, you'll even get assigned your own personal pastor who will pray for you every single day and who will be available for you to support you, to encourage you, to walk you through different things in life, and to help you slay your giants. So I want you to consider partnership with XP, to be a part of a company, covenanted into a company of believers who are slaying giants all the time, to be part of that and to be part of Shiloh Fellowship. We would love to have you part of our family. Now, put your hands up before the Lord right now, and whatever your giant is, just symbolically hold that giant up before Him, and I'm going to help you slay it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of the strongholds of the enemy. Anything in your life that is too big for you to handle, I call forth the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, His name, His glory, His words, His goodness to overpower that work of darkness, that obstacle, and I free you to have the victory in Jesus' name. God bless you, and remember this, He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
In the Zone by Patricia King is a powerful book full of principles and ideas to get you out of normal living and into the blessing zone. Order In the Zone for only $20 plus shipping, and you will also receive Patricia's Decree CD. Decree a thing and it shall be established. Call 866-980-5464. Ask for television offer 323. Go online at patriciaking.com or text the word BLESSED 42828. Order now. You have the power to create. Patricia King's book, Create Your World, shows you how to create, change, and improve your life with these God-given principles. Order today, and Patricia will also send you her 5-CD teaching and study guide, all for only $30 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464. Ask for television offer 324. Go online at patriciaking.com or text the word BLESS to 42828. Order now.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.